Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing executive order confusion and traveling again.
Yeah, buddy, this is our Friday Flight episode where every week we talk about the headlines in the news because we want to make sure we are discussing how these different news stories, the different changes that are happening in our country, how they are affecting our money, our personal finances. And so we're going to talk about the two that you mentioned, plus a few others, you know, a medium-sized story, as well as some small ones. You know, they're not all these big dramatic stories, but we like to talk about all the stuff out there.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff out there this week. And we talk about the stuff that we care about, right? Because there are some even bigger stories, right? In particular, bigger political stories. There's a vice presidential pick for Joe Biden. But we don't talk about that stuff on the show.
Yeah, less about politics. I mean, less about health as well. I feel like even when we do talk about COVID, it's specific to, you know, our money, because that's what we talk about here, man. We are How to Money. And actually, man, on that note, you know, last week we were just talking about new cell phones, and I was kind of bragging a little bit about how great my old school iPhone SE is doing. And then, of course, 3 days later, I was out for a run and my phone slipped out of my armband and cracked. The screen like shattered even more. It had a little crack on it, but now it's terrible.
You told me you had this old school armband and you put tape on it to try to keep your phone in.
Okay, yeah. So this is actually a pretty good frugal or cheap. 100% cheap move, because this armband, it's from like 8-9 years ago, like when Kate and I first got into running, and it's slowly kind of falling apart a little bit. And, you know, I was looking at it and I'd put the tape on there a couple weeks ago, but I was like, you know, the phone could probably like slide out of there, out of that little slot, out of that hole. And so I stuck some packing tape on the armband so that A, I could still see the screen, but B, it would hold it together. But, you know, you go running and you sweat, and the sweat makes tape not sticky anymore. And that's what happened, man. I was actually not even running. It was after the run, and I was walking with it, and it slipped out of that spot and cracked.
Well, I hate that for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
about
such
that.
A sick feeling, you know, when you're like, no!
A busted screen sucks. Yeah. But I saw what you did, dude. You pulled out an even older version of an iPhone that you currently have hanging around your house.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go into all these details, but I had an older iPhone SE that was not as good because the battery isn't as good on it. And I just backed up my iPhone to iCloud and then just pulled out the new one. And
by new one, you mean the really old one.
Yeah, the really old one. And just restored that backup. And so now, instead of, you know, cutting my finger on pieces of glass, now I just have these nice aged cracks that are dulled a little bit where they don't cut my finger. But yeah, going back to what you said, though, you mentioned the armband. That was a completely cheap move by, you know, throwing the tape on there. I should have just bought a new armband for like $5. You
to
know?
Save your phone from like lots of damage.
Exactly. But at the same time, I'm not necessarily going to get a brand new iPhone right now. And that is not me being cheap. That's just, I think that's me being a little more frugal because I don't really care that much about cell phones. That is maybe until you get a new one and I see how nice and shiny it is and it's got that new electronic smell.
Well, I'm still holding off on mine, even though my current one likes to turn itself off like two or three times a day. I don't know what's going on there. And I got to think at this point in time, listeners are probably not taking our recommendation on upgrade cycles for phones because we tend to go a little bit longer, especially you.
Push things a little bit, yeah.
But I like your ingenuity. I like your willingness to work with the old phone. I'm trying to see how much longer I can slog it out too. All right, Matt, let's get on to the Friday flight, the headlines we found interesting this week and what those four executive orders that were released on Saturday actually mean for you. But first, let's get to a couple others. Matt, we talk about bikes maybe way too much, but
no, not enough.
Okay, not enough.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Bikes are integral, man. Yeah, bikes and beer.
They're huge. They're important. But bike sales are actually way up. And we talked about that earlier in the pandemic, but bike sales continue to just shoot through the roof. And when we're talking about bikes along with accessories, including helmets and stuff, $1 billion of bike goods were sold in April, which is up 75% from the previous year. Yeah. Yeah. You and I, we were certainly part of that spike in demand. You bought a bike for yourself. I bought a bike for my 4-year-old. Now she's riding on
two
wheels.
We got a couple bikes for our kids as well.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this, it's hard to believe that this was all recent, but this was all this past spring.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Everybody's like, it's time. Like, let's get out there on the bikes. And more people are doing it. And it's just kind of crazy to see the bike boom that's happening. And I feel like I'm seeing all my neighbors are on bikes more often too.
Yeah. I'm just happy to see so many more people joining us in our favorite money-saving pastime, man. You know, and there was a really interesting article about the major bike company Trek in Medium. We'll link to that in our show notes. But they mentioned how it really has been a perfect storm for bike sales in so many ways. You know, like fewer folks want to take public transportation, right? So that's one thing. Gyms are closed, and so folks are looking for a way to kind of get their workout on. And then on top of that, like you and I, you know, there's parents out there wanting to get their kids off of screens and getting them outside. Trek bike sales are through the roof, and their CEO even said that their sales could have even been twice what they were if they had been able to ramp up production in a bigger way, because the, you know, supply chains were disrupted. A lot of different components come from all different parts of the world. It makes it difficult to keep up with this massive spike in demand.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy to read about the supply chain and how there's all these different components that they're getting from all over the world, you know, mostly in China, but then they have to be put together. It can take 120 days to actually build a bike.
Yeah, it certainly makes me appreciate the bike manufacturing process a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, versus me getting it at home and it's 90% put together. I'm just like, ugh. Got to get the pedals and the handlebars on.
Well, too, it's just kind of crazy. Apparently, their warehouse is completely empty, which it must be an eerie feeling because it's this enormous space that's typically full of packages of bikes, but they've sold through them all. So, yeah. Good luck to people out there who are looking to buy a bike because it's harder to do right now. Speaking of new bikes, Matt, actually, when I purchased my bike for the 4-year-old, we got it from REI. And I actually just saw an article in the Wall Street Journal saying that REI is going to sell their sweet new corporate headquarters, which they never even got to use due to COVID. They built this beautiful, gorgeous office space, new headquarters in Washington State. And because of shelter in place, because of more working from home, REI realized that it didn't make much sense to kind of hold on to this new headquarters, and that collaboration for their employees doesn't require this single location, no matter how beautiful it is.
Yeah, the renderings look incredible. I didn't actually see a picture of it completed, but it's almost built as a summer camp for adults. Like, they've got like giant glass sliding doors and, you know, like rooftop terraces, native plants, they're incorporated into the design as well. You know, I totally understand that things have completely changed. You know, in companies, they're going to start upending plans to build or even get rid of current office space. space. But even still, if I were an REI corporate employee, I would totally be bummed. But this is just another example of companies, of employers moving to less centralized, you know, corporate offices. As we've learned that so much collaboration and so much of the work that we do today can be done from our individual homes.
Yeah, and it sounds like REI is going to put some of those resources instead of into that fancy building that's now on the market. They're going to use it to, you know, speed up other improvements in how they do business, and in particular, you know, the customer facing stuff with touchless pickup. So yeah, still love REI. I love the return policy, man. I love just everything about that company. But on that note of working from home, Matt, it's no surprise that a lot of people's electricity bills are on the rise. It's getting super hot out there, and especially here where we are in Atlanta. And because a lot of us are now in our homes 24 hours a day, our AC units are working overtime. And I know, like, typically when we leave the house during the day, you know, we set the temperature up a little bit, and people probably aren't doing that as much because they're in their homes more. The AC units are probably on a good bit of the time, and that means our electricity bills are going up. And there's not much that we can do except for to tell you to bump it up a degree or two in order to help save you from an outrageous electricity bill. But one thing that is important is to change your filters, because it's actually the number one reason that AC units break down, and it's the number one reason that they're inefficient or working too hard. So set a reminder or get a thermostat that reminds you to change your filters, because if you forget, it's totally not good for the bill you might receive from an HVAC technician.
That's true, man. Hey, I've got a deal of the week. That's what I'm going to call it. Deal of the week for you.
Bring it.
I saw that movie theaters are going to be opening next Thursday, specifically AMC. Man, they are selling tickets for 15 cents.
What?
A ticket. Yeah. To celebrate their, you know, their 100th anniversary. That's what they're saying, at least. I'm sure it's also to try to, like, get people back into the movie theaters. But they're saying that they're going to sell them at 1920 prices. You know, it's 2020. It's like, all right, back in 1920, tickets cost 15 cents. Let's sell them for 15 cents.
It's a lesson in inflation right there, because movie tickets cost a whole lot more than that now.
Yeah, seriously, I appreciate that they're not trying to sell tickets at 2120 prices, which would be like $400, I guess.
Yeah, ticket. Exactly.
But yeah, they're trying to entice us through the doors, hoping that we can't turn down that deal. I feel like that's something that you would do, Joel. You're like, 15 cent tickets, I got to be there.
If I actually went to movies, it would be hard to resist. But I've got kids, man. I haven't been to the movies in at least a year, I gotta
yeah.
say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing is, too, is like the health risk. You know, like, is it worth it to go to a movie theater and be surrounded by a bunch of folks? Like, would you do it? What if there was a movie out that you wanted to go see and kids weren't an issue? Like, and would you go?
You were going to watch my kids for me.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do it. So I saw that they're going to require, everyone's required to wear masks. The capacity within the auditoriums is reduced to like 30% or less. But even still, I'm not sure if I would do it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. Everyone's got different comfortability levels. And I think because watching a movie is so much more of like a leisurely fun item, I probably wouldn't do it. Like going to get a haircut, at some point I got to get a haircut, right? And I guess I could do it myself, right? But
get you some clippers.
Yeah. I mean, you do it, but I need to get on that train. But I don't mind. You know, I've only done it once since the pandemic started, but I'd go in there and get my haircut again.
Right.
But going to see a movie...
Feels a little superfluous.
Yeah, even at the 15 cent, you know, 1920 prices, I probably would avoid it.
It's not going to pull you in?
I don't think so.
Well, the other thing I was thinking of, too, is what are they going to do about buying popcorn and Coke, and like concessions?
That's a good question. I mean, probably...
You can't put food in your mouth. You can't drink without taking off your mask, so...
The concessions have to be shut down.
Well, I don't think they are. That's the thing. They say that masks have to stay on, except for when you know, are eating. And I mean, come on, who's going to sit there during a movie, watch, you know, pull down the mask to throw some popcorn in there and put the mask back? No, you're watching the movie, you're taking the mask off, it's not going back on.
That's a good point.
I can guarantee it.
Yeah, that's another reason probably to avoid it, even though it's cheap.
Yeah, well, that's our personal recommendation because, you know, there's a lot of COVID cases here in Atlanta, but I know there's a lot of places where it's really not a concern. It's like a different world.
Yeah, that's true. Completely depends on where you live. Some places, there's almost no risk involved. And then where we live, there's just a lot more risk involved. All right, Matt, let's talk about the executive order. And it's been kind of confusing since on Saturday, Trump issued those executive orders as Congress was like basically completely unable to strike any sort of compromise on a stimulus bill. And one, I'm a little frustrated with our politicians for their inability to work together. But then those executive orders actually created a lot of confusion and people are like, huh, what does this mean? And there's obviously a question of legality at the same time. But I think a huge part of the reason that these executive orders were issued was actually to kind of be a goad to spur on Congress towards renewing some talks to get them going in the right direction so that they can accomplish something meaningful for the people that are hurting right now.
But even after those executive orders were made, we're still hearing nothing from Congress on a future relief bill. So it feels like there's something to report, but also kind of like nothing to report.
Right. Yeah. And it's worth mentioning, too, I guess, what was included in those orders, because they might be indicative of what actually comes to pass. And so in those executive orders, federal student loan payments and interest were suspended through the rest of the year. Federal unemployment benefits, they're supposed to continue, but now at a lesser $400 per week instead of the $600. There was also kind of this confusing payroll tax deferral thrown in there. And then there was also an eviction moratorium included as well in those recent executive orders. But again, even though these are orders that he issued, it's a little bit confusing because he doesn't necessarily have the power to implement these things, right? Congress, they hold the power of the purse. And so when it comes to changes that require funding, that's something that only Congress has authority over.
Yeah, so we'll certainly keep an eye on these executive orders and whether implementation actually happens on any of these things, or hopefully, Congress comes to some sort of an agreement on the next steps in regards to a relief bill so that we can forget this happened altogether, these executive orders, and we can come up with something that's actually going to deliver money into the right places to help the people that are struggling the most right now.
Yeah, although, Joel, I just saw, too, that a lot of policy experts are saying it could easily be until September before an agreement is reached. And so we will, keep our listeners updated and posted, but I'm not necessarily going to hold my breath in the meantime.
At the same time, How to Money listeners, like, as we look to see what the government's going to do in regards to another stimulus check or more unemployment benefits, at the same time, we have to take control of the things we can take control of.
Yeah.
And this is something that we'll keep an eye on because we know it impacts all of us. But at the same time, we have to do our best with our own personal finances in the midst of this craziness.
Exactly. Yeah, these stimulus bills aren't everything. And so, Joel, we've got more to get to, including good news about how Americans are approaching debt and more right after this break.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Spring cleaning is kind of an annual rite of passage. We've all got to do it, minimize the junk that we have in our house. Emily and I, we just cleaned our closets out. It took hours, but it was so worth it. Now we've only got stuff in there that we love, and it's easier to find everything too. And so, while cleaning your closets is helpful, well, there's something else you can do for your family this spring.
Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius, for example, is a really important part of your financial planning for the year.
That's right. Yeah. And here is the thing that's important to remember, because you might be thinking you don't need to check out Policy Genius because you've got a policy through work. But even if you have a life insurance policy through your job, it may not offer you enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, and that means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
All right, Matt, we're back from the break. You just asked me whether I was going to go see a movie in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think turns out probably not. But I did recently get in an airplane.
Oh, yeah. You're going to share that with folks?
So, yeah.
I don't know if you're going to, like, spill the beans.
Well, so, you know, my family and I, we traveled to Memphis to see some of my wife's family. And then they actually hung out there for a good bit longer, but I had to come home. So I hopped on an airplane. And I will say I felt pretty safe. I was wearing my mask. Everybody else was wearing a mask. The plane was maybe 20% full. The airport felt like a ghost town.
I bet.
Yeah, so probably not something I'm going to do to hop across the pond or something like that, or even to go on vacation right now. But I didn't feel terribly unsafe getting on an airplane to come home.
Yeah, and the reason that you mentioned that, man, is that we saw that the U.S. State Department has lifted a global advisory on international travel that was put into place 5 months ago. And so a question I think a lot of folks might be asking themselves is whether or not it's safe to travel. So a lot of that comes down to, you know, the individual, but it also kind of comes down to where we are allowed or able to travel to, right? Most other countries won't let us in their borders because of our high number of new COVID cases. You know, the EU, they've lifted travel bans on visitors from 14 different countries. But the U.S., of course, isn't one of them. So even if you felt completely comfortable flying internationally and you wanted to maybe take a little trip, take advantage of any deals that you may have come across, you may not even be able to.
Yeah, they won't let you in. So don't even bother, right? And yeah, at the same time, Matt, I think airplanes, you know, they're not the most dangerous place to be. We had a travel expert on a couple months ago, and he shed some light on that. But a recent study shows that 50% of Americans aren't ready to travel on an airplane right now. And even fewer are willing to travel internationally, even if they could. And specifically on any flights of 6 hours or longer is how the question was phrased. And that actually kind of works out. So if people are okay traveling on an airplane, hopping to a cool destination, well, if they want a short flight domestically, that's actually where the best deals are right now anyway. Airlines have like drastically cut the amount of flights that they're sending internationally. So there's just more activity going on domestically and there's more room to be able to get a deal. So if you're in that half, that 50% of people who say, yeah, I don't mind getting on an airplane, especially if I can make the trip for a whole lot less money than usual, then keep your eyes peeled and search sites like google.com/flights or sign up for a site like Scotch Cheap Flights so you can find some of the cheapest deals.
Yeah, man. And something else worth noting is that you used to always find the best domestic flight deals around 1 to 3 months in advance. But now, because of the lack of business travelers, there have been last minute deals popping up. You know, like those used to be the flights that last minute business travelers that they would put on their corporate card. They didn't care about the price, or I guess you'd say that they were price insensitive. But because there are fewer of those last minute business travelers, some of those seats are going for pretty cheap. And so actually back to you, when you were getting that flight from Memphis, did you get a pretty good deal?
Yeah, I got a really good deal.
Okay.
$49 one way, but actually
that's really good.
Yeah, I used some points because I had some Southwest points hanging around. And Southwest, the great thing is too, that's one of the reasons I like booking with Southwest is because they offer you the most flexibility to change a flight when you want to, and they don't charge you outrageous fees to do it. And so I knew if the price goes down, I can always cancel that flight, rebook another one. So yeah, keep that in mind too when you're booking a flight. And Matt, while Southwest offers a lot of flexibility, other airlines, not so much these days. And getting refunds in particular is not going well for lots of people. Airlines are currently actually holding on to billions of dollars in refunds, and they're making it super difficult for anyone to get their money back due to no fault of their own as countries have been locked down and flights are being canceled through the spring. And the hoops that they're making passengers jump through in particular, it's shameful, man. It's terrible. And especially considering that the airlines received just this massive amount of money, $60 billion as a part of the stimulus bill this past spring. I feel like it's even more of a slap in the face to us and to everybody out there who is seeking some sort of a refund. And on top of that, because passenger refunds for canceled flights are this legal obligation that airlines have to their customers, and they're not doing it right now. They're just doing everything they can to avoid giving refunds to people.
Yeah, and so if we are describing your situation, we'd encourage you not to get pushed around by the airline company and continue to demand your refund. We'd recommend that you keep a log, document your efforts, as well as, you know, what the airline says that they'll do. But be prepared to spend some time fighting for your rights. A Harvard Business Review article found that the average American consumer, that they spend 13 hours every year stuck on hold trying to resolve problems with individual companies.
You know, when you're stuck on hold for an hour, it feels like 13 hours. So, but if you're stuck on hold for 13 hours,
it's
how
like,
many hours?
It's like dog years.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like, what is that in consumer years? Because it feels like it's already been 13
hours.
It's
like 170 consumer years or something.
Yeah. You know, like getting that runaround is so frustrating, but, you know, the airlines are banking on the fact that individual consumers are going to accept less, you know, or even stop fighting for their money altogether. And so we want to encourage you to keep up the good fight and don't fall for it.
Yeah. And it's important to know your rights, know what you're fighting for, know what they're legally obligated to give you. And that can actually help you push through the long hold times or the unhelpful customer service representative. And if you're still not able to get anywhere with the airline, file a complaint with the DOT. And there's an easy to fill out online form to make your complaint heard with the authorities. There's also a really helpful section on the DOT's website that discusses your rights as a flyer. So for example, if your flight is changed so that you'll arrive at your destination 2 or more hours after the flight you originally booked, you're entitled to a massive reimbursement on that one-way fare. And not just in a voucher form either, like in cash or a check. So know your rights, fight for them, and Matt, we'll link to both of those sections of the DOT website in our show notes.
Nice. I would request mine in $2 bills. Those are extra special.
They're pretty cool. Just don't request it in change right now. Remember we talked about the coin shortage recently?
That's true. One other story we wanted to cover, man, was that we have seen household debt decline for the first time in 6 years over the past several months. Consumers are paying off their credit card debt. And we saw a similar pattern to this during the Great Recession a decade ago. It's really encouraging to see people shoring up their finances in the middle of a recession. Of course, economists and financial experts are stating that the stimulus measures, right, that they had a lot to do with that. $1,200 one-time checks, an extra $600 a week in unemployment. For a lot of folks, that'll do that for you, right? But we can't ignore the impact that our own spending has on our personal finances. With lockdown orders and an inability to go out and spend money like we typically would, Americans had a lot more cash on hand to aid in that debt payoff. And so I just want to encourage folks as well to realize that we have more of an internal locus of control than we think, right? A lot of times we think that like, oh, this is what the economy is doing. Oh, you know, my employer's shut down. But we have way more control over our money than we realize. And a lot of it has to do with the expenses that we most definitely have control over.
Yeah, and it always feels counterintuitive when I read something like that, when unemployment has skyrocketed and people are going through a hard time, how debt payoff happens at a more rapid clip. But it is, and that's actually encouraging to me. And it shows me too that as things do start to get better, that we should maintain that focus towards paying down that debt, because we want to be in an even better position when the next times of hardship come around. And then also too, Matt, with a lot of that extra money, lots of people have continued investing as well. Fidelity actually shared that they had record-breaking contributions to retirement accounts, like Roth IRAs, as Americans have attempted to get their financial lives in order. You know, you and I, we obviously are all about investing for the long term. But for those people that did continue to invest in the downturn, like, it's already had a payoff, as the S&P 500 has recovered to pre-pandemic highs, and it's climbed about 50% from its low back in March.
That's just incredible.
Yeah, it's one of those things that none of us could have predicted, you know, in mid to late March or April, that, oh yeah, the stock market's going to be back exactly where it was. And for the folks that did continue to invest, did continue to dollar cost average during the downturn, they're reaping the rewards of continuing that discipline.
Yeah, in general, you know, I think our country could use a complete mindset shift in the way we handle money. And maybe this is the start, you know, of that shift. Maybe this is the start of maybe more folks out there donning their cracked iPhones and delaying a new electronics purchase. But it is encouraging to see that people are paying off debt and also saving and investing more right now.
I hope you're right, dude. I hope this is a wake-up call for all of America. But I know at least that our listeners are taking these things into consideration and they're making changes, because we hear about it every day in our Facebook group in particular. So
yeah, super encouraging. But Joel, man, that's going to be it for this episode, dude. Our listeners can find our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, and if you need support in your money journey and maybe you feel alone right now, well, check out our Facebook group that I just mentioned. If you go to facebook.com, just search How to Money, and you'll find that group with thousands and thousands of other people pursuing the same thing you are, paying off debt, becoming more financially independent. It's just an awesome place to post your money questions or gain some encouragement during these times.
That's right. All right, buddy. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeira. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.